Turn your Bible to Philippians 4. We're going to go back to the same chapter both this week and next. Same passage, Philippians 4, 1 through 9. It's an amazingly rich and deep passage. Just an just a full passage. And we could spend much more time even than this with some of the truths in there. But just as God gives us opportunity over these few weeks, we'll be thinking about these truths together. Overcoming fear, anxiety, and worry. And that's just a normal part of life, isn't it? Fear. Life is full of different kinds of fears. The economy. Anybody ever have any fears about our economy right now? If you're watching TV, you do, right? Because they're going to bombard you with that. Whether or not you're going to keep your job. Maybe you hear things around your work and there's fears about that. Oh, I don't know what's going to happen there. Being able to pay your bills. How about if you're on a fixed income? How about if you've worked your whole life and you've saved and you've done the right thing and one whim of the economy can just completely trash everything you've done because of inflation or something like that? There's fears there. Our nation's debt, $14 trillion. Do we even know what that number means? And it's insane, isn't it? And it's fear. There'll be fear all about that. How are we going to pay that back? One thing we don't have to fear is our politicians. We don't have to fear because we already know, due to their track record, that they're going to do the wrong thing. So that's an easy one. Just put that one aside. Don't have to worry about that anymore, no matter who they are. It's just hard to trust any of them because of all of the things that happen. Cause us to fear our government could collapse or something could happen there or they're going to take advantage of us. Health fears, something that we can't control. Health. You don't know what's going to happen there, so it causes fears or even could cause death, which is another common fear. We were up at camp last year for junior boys camp, and the speaker for junior boys was one of these particularly emotional type speakers where he was really always trying to get you to make a decision, you know, and so he was preaching hard, and all of a sudden the tornado warning went off. You could kind of hear it in the background at first. A little bit louder, and then spontaneously around, it was almost the end of the service, spontaneously around the room, people started crying, and a kid behind us just broke down screaming, you know. Well, he was fearing death, wasn't he? And he heard the tornado, and I thought that the speaker blew it, because he should have said, if you were to die today, do you know for sure you would go to, you know, no, that probably would have been very bad in that instance, but it's a fear, though, isn't it? It's a fear of death because you don't have any control over that. You don't know when that's going to happen. And we face it. Every person that's ever lived is going to die. And so those kind of fears. There was a violent thunderstorm one time when a mother was tucking her small child into bed and she went out of the room. Many of you have been parents, know this. She shut off a light and small young boy says, Mom, could you sleep with me tonight? Thunder's roaring. Wind's buffeting the house and everything, and he's scared. She said, No, honey, I have to sleep with Daddy tonight. He said, Oh, the big baby. We face that, though, don't we? There's these fears in our life, and they're common. And there's worry and anxiety at different levels with us. Maybe you feel like this sometimes where the charging rhino is about to smash you. Insurance company, don't fear, we're there for you. We have a superior answer today, don't we? But doesn't it feel like that sometimes, that life is just charging at you and you're about ready to get smashed? Even just living in this broken world, we face stuff like that, don't we? You don't know if you're going to go out and some evil person has evil intended for you and they're going to try to do something to you, take advantage of you or rob you or kill you or something terrible or to you or to your family. And so we have these kind of fears. The point is this, that in this life, we have many opportunities to worry. We have many opportunities to be anxious, to be bound up inside and to be overcome by our circumstances and to fear. What do you do then in light of that? Just sit around and wring your hands and every once in a while you have a good day? Again, there's a superior answer that we find in God's Word to overcoming this thing of fear, anxiety, and worry. A superior answer on how to have peace in the midst of these terrible fears that we can be faced with. Let's go ahead and read Philippians 4, 1 through 9 together and see what God's superior answer for us is. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And the things which you heard and received and saw, which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray together. Lord, we are just again thankful for your word, thankful that you have given us clear commands to follow because we need that and you knew that and know that. And that your word to us is to not fear. But Lord, you know also that we live in a world that is filled with fears and that we are a people prone to anxiety and worry. And so God, we need help. And you know that as well. And so we just cry out to you for help at this time for us to learn and be able to put into practice these amazing truths that you have imparted to us and so that we can experience the kind of life you made us for. And God, that's our hope today, that as we look into your word, as we read, as we interact, as we talk, that these things, with these truths and these things we're learning would be personal. And that we can make good application, each one of us, and so that we can be more like Jesus Christ as a result. In his name we pray, amen. Fear, common problems, worry, and anxiety. Do you ever wish in your life that you could overcome these? That you could just get past some of these times of worry that can even lead many people into depression? Do you ever just say, boy, I wish I could overcome those, but I can't. I've tried and I can't. It is possible, as we'll see today, because God's word is a rich and deep truth to us today to help us in these areas of life where it's very difficult. And this passage is really kind of like a toolbox of overcoming fear and anxiety and worry. It really is. And it just helps us to see what's going on in our hearts, first of all, which is really kind of the most important thing. What's going on inside of your heart. And that's just an individual thing. Sometimes they're very common things, but there are individual things that you need to explore. What's going on in your heart. What the true issue is with fear, anxiety, and worry. And what then you can do to turn from that and to be helped and to become more like Christ as a result. And that's really what we're going to focus on today, is just these tools for helping us overcome fear, anxiety, and worry. The first truth, as we find in verse 4 of chapter 4, is we need to, during fear, anxiety, or worry, change what the focus is on. And this verse 4, a very simple verse, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And we'll be talking more about joy in the weeks to come, but and a little bit today. But for our purposes in fear, anxiety, and worry is, fear, anxiety, and worry, or worry, are all together about the same thing, are rooted in a wrong focus. In other words, our focus, our attention, our thoughts, our hopes are on the wrong thing. And this verse right here is telling us to turn that focus from whatever it is on and to turn it over to Christ, to turn our focus on to Him and doing His will, loving Him and knowing Him and trusting Him. Maybe you're focusing on yourself. I want what I want. And that is very often what I find is a problem in anxiety, is that there's something in my life that I think gives me joy. And I think I must have this thing to survive. And when that thing is taken out of the way, or even if I fear that it might be taken out of the way, I won't have what I want. And I have to keep that at all costs. I have to manipulate my world. I got to have it. I got to get it. And if I don't, I'm anxious. Well, yeah, of course you're anxious, because you can't control that, right? I got to have my job. I got to have the job. If I had this job, I wouldn't be anxious anymore. And so I do everything I can to get it, and then I'm anxious all the time because I can't get it. Focusing on yourself. I want what I want. Anything like that. I must have. I must have a husband who loves me the way Christ loved the church. If I can't have that, I can't be happy. And so we're focusing on, even in that instance, something that's a good thing, but with a wrong motive and a wrong reason. Focusing on yourself. Focusing on things that are not important. You know, I gotta have this. I must have X, Y, Z. I gotta have the big mansion house. If I don't have that, I can't be happy. I gotta have a better job. I gotta have more money. I gotta have, you know, whatever. Well, things that just aren't that important in this world. Focusing on those things can cause anxiety. Certainly focusing on things you can't control. Wow, that'll make you anxious every time, right? Trying to order things your way, trying to play God, but you can't control those things, and so they go away, and wow, you're bound to be anxious. Or even on wrong goals, and I think that's the great application of this passage today, is to change our goals. And so just as we begin, focusing on wrong goals, that kind of summarizes all the other things that we can focus on wrongly. Our goals need to change. Let's just get that out in the open. If I want what I want, and that's my most important thing, I need to change that goal to I want what God wants. That one thing that I think is going to bring me happiness and joy in this life that I must have, it's not going to bring me happiness or joy, and I'm going to be anxious. Change my goal. I'm going to please God regardless of whether I get what I think I need for life. Change your focus. Rejoice in the Lord always. Make Him your joy. Make Him the one that you seek. Make Him the one that you love. Rejoicing in Christ. And just get that point this morning. This could be a 5-minute message. The Rhino video and this point, right? That could do it. The Rhino video and this point, and we'd be done. Is that the joy will never, ever come from temporal things. And if your hope and your focus and your joy comes from things that are passing away, you're going to be anxious. You're going to lose them. You know that? You know that one person that you must have in your life to have joy, they're going to die. You know that? They're going to die. You know what else they're going to do? They're going to sin against you, aren't they? It's temporal. Rejoice in Christ. Guess what He's not going to do? He's not going to die anymore. He's risen. He's not going to let you down. He's not going to sin against you. Rejoice in Christ. The things of this world, money. Boy, you think some of the richest people in the world are just content and peaceful and happy today? How about in America? There's no way, right? If you're rich or poor, it doesn't matter. It's all up and down. No one knows what's going to happen. Those things will go away. But Christ... Rejoice in Christ. He never changes. And so that is just changing our focus from the things that are not important, the things that are not eternal to Him. things in this world rot and they break, and thieves break in and steal, as Jesus said. Circumstances can change on a whim. A way a person interacts with you or relates to you can change on a whim. But Christ is eternal. He is the cornerstone. He is the solid foundation. He is the rock to build your life upon, all of those kind of things. If you find yourself struggling with fear, anxiety, and worry, a good question to ask yourself is, where is your focus on, and what must you have for joy? Rejoice in the Lord, right? So what must you have to fill you to joy, to give you joy? What do you think will satisfy you? It's a great indicator of where your heart is at and a good way to help you get some traction and ground and change in this area. Verse 5, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And you'll notice that there's this idea of rejoicing in the Lord, not being nasty. Let your gentleness be known to all men, because Christ is there watching over you. And be anxious for nothing. Isn't it interesting that all of that goes together? What happens in our life when we get anxious? We get nippy, right? We start having broken relationships. We start having problems, and it just boils up out of us. Why? Because our focus is not on Christ. If my focus is on Christ and everything else in my world that's temporal crumbles down and falls into a big pile, it matters not, right? If the rhino is charging at me and it looks like I'm dead, did you notice the look on that girl's face? Wasn't that awesome? When she's just sitting there smiling. And that's a great picture of trust. Focusing on Christ instead of the things of this world. The Lord is at hand. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. We'll talk about this again next week. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And then, you know, notice if you get your Bible open there, the very next verse is about fear. Therefore, I'm going to say, I'm not going to fear. What can man do to me? Right? Isn't that interesting? So contentment, peace, all of that is trusting Christ and resting in him, focusing on pleasing him. Change your focus. Maybe today, one way that you can change your focus, and maybe there's a need in your life to change your focus from seeing yourself as a victim to seeing yourself as someone who is rebelling against God's will in your life. I don't want to be mean on this, and I hope you don't hear it this way, especially if you're really struggling with like worry or depression or something, you need to talk to somebody about it, but anxiety is a sin. Be anxious for nothing, Jesus says, or Paul says here through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Be anxious for nothing. It's a command. And did you know that as we're anxious, as we're worrying, as we're stressing over things, that we are violating one of God's commands to us? Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Be anxious for nothing. That's another key principle. From seeing yourself as a victim, oh, I'm just a worrier, I'm just anxious, to saying, no, this is an area in my life I need to grow in. This is an area in my life where I know that I'm displeasing to God and I need to grow. And it's a command and I'm going to obey it. I'm going to do what God asked me to do, and I'm going to learn more about this thing, and I'm going to grow. Think about this with me. Worry will never be in your life as a result of resting and trusting in Christ. Right? So in other words, I'm so captivated by Christ, I'm so resting and trusting in him that the result is worry. It doesn't happen, does it? How about I am so enthralled by Jesus and living for him, and my life is so dedicated to him that I just am anxious all the time. That's not going to happen either. No, we're anxious because I have my goals, my desires, my will, and I'm not completely trusting Christ, and so I get anxious. So change your focus in that we see anxiety and worry and fear and things in the biblical grid. It's not okay. It's not any different than any other sin. It's not that you're particularly more sinful than anyone else, but it is one that needs to change, need to work on, need to repent of and grow in. Change your focus. Change your focus to Christ. Rejoice in Christ. Change who you're trusting in. Again, another just key principle. Worry and anxiety and fear at their core are the exact opposite of faith. They're the exact opposite of trust. The exact opposite of trusting Christ. And what they really are, what it boils down to very often, and I can't say 100% of the time, but very often is you trust yourself more than you want to trust God. I can see the world around me, the physical world, I can grab it, I can touch it. And if I can so order things to meet my grid of what I want it to be, then I can have peace. I don't have to be anxious. And so I'm going to try. I'm going to try to manipulate people. I'm going to make them do what I want them to do. I'm going to try to manipulate circumstances. I'm going to try to make the circumstances do what I want them to do. I'm going to try to get on every health kick I can to not be sick or die. I'm going to try to do all of these things. I'm going to make these investments so I can get so much money that there's no way that I can ever be let down. I mean, it can be anything like that. But it's the opposite of just resting in a good and sovereign Creator to provide for you what you need and have His will in your life. Change what you're trusting in. Don't trust yourself, but trust God. Let's think about the character of God. You know, I have a tendency, I don't know about you, but I have a tendency to exalt principles. Let me teach you the 12 biblical principles that you need and go home and do it. Duh, right? But you know what? It's not about that. It's about having, the principles help, but it's about having a right view and making much of Jesus. Really, that's what it's about. Who is God anyway? Why should I trust Him? Why should I place, let's look at who He is. Let's think about that. This is our great God. Why would we not trust Him? Genesis 1:1. Everyone knows this, but in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Have you ever just chewed on that? You should every day. Do you know that? Every day. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I heard an atheist giving a testimony one time why he didn't believe in God. And he said, the universe is too big. There's no way there's a God. The universe is too big. Think about it. That's how awesome God is. He made all of this. We can't even measure it, right? Oh, you know how big it is. Get a new telescope, it's bigger, right? We just can't see that far. Oh, we know how small it is, right? We get a new microscope, what? It's smaller, right? Smaller particles, smaller particles, smaller particles. We're not that smart, are we? Who is God? He created all of this. That's enough for us to know right there. He created you. He created everything. He's the maker. That should get our minds set. He's trustworthy. If He made all of this, right, He can figure out how to get you a sandwich tomorrow. Right? Amen? If He made all of this, He's going to give you a place to lay your head tonight. Right? Trust Him. Trust the character of God. He's able. He's also faithful. Psalm 9:9-10. The Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. Those who know Your name will put their trust in You, for You, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek You. God is trustworthy. He has promised. He loves us. He's going to care for us. Trust Him. He's trustworthy. He's not asleep on the job. Psalm 121:1-4. I will lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel shall neither sleep nor slumber. He's not asleep on the job. He doesn't have to sleep. It's 24/7. He's watching over us every single day. He's trustworthy and He's caring for you. He's wise. Job 9:4. God is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who has hardened Himself against Him and prospered? No one. God is wise. He knows what He's doing. Psalm 119:68. You are good and do good. Teach me Your statutes. He's the great King. The Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. Psalm 95:3. And so He's on the throne. He's the great King. Nothing slips by Him. Nothing escapes Him. Nothing gets under His radar screen. There's nothing in your life that happened to you, is happening to you, or will happen to you that the great King didn't know was going to happen and allow to happen. And He is watching. You can trust Him for that. Psalm 84:9-12. O God, behold our shield, and look upon the face of Your anointed. For a day in Your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in You. This is our God. He made all of this. He's faithful. He loves us. He's so great that he created all things, and he's even greater than all things, and he is so loving that he cares about us individually, that he is active in your life, faithfully providing for you, faithfully caring for you, faithfully giving to you the things that you need every single day. That's our God. Change what you're trusting in. Trust in him instead. He has a good purpose in all of the things that we are fearful of. Have you ever thought about that today? Kind of getting long already, I don't know. But this ain't on the notes, but this is just part of it as you think about. Why do we worry about stuff? Because we don't see God's good purpose in our life, right? God let me have this nasty old husband. God let me have this nasty old husband. I don't like it. Could God have given you that man in your life to help you be more like Christ and to give you a redemptive opportunity every day to speak truth and to show love into that person's life every day when it's hard? What's going to make you more like Jesus? Some person that just is easy to live with and loves the Lord and just is serving you all the time, or someone that's hard to live with? What's going to make you more like Jesus? You know what? It's easier to demonstrate the character of Christ when it's hard, because you can be just like him. God demonstrates his love that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And we buck against that. I don't want that. I'll admit to you today, I don't want that. I don't want hard stuff in my life. I just don't. But God, the great King, lets us into our life for a good purpose. Romans 8:28 and 29. All things work together for good to those who love God, the called according to his purpose. Those he foreknew, he predestined to be made more in the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And as we get that truth, anxiety and fear starts to fade, because I understand that God's got a good purpose in these things, and I'm going to rest and trust in his good purpose and him rather than in my good purpose, my bad purpose, and my own desires and things like that. God's got a good purpose. And notice that after Romans 8:28 and 29, there's this thing about fear right in there in verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his Son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Is that not a trust statement right there? Trust him. He loves you. He's got a good purpose. He's not going to give you more than you can handle. He's right there with you. He's caring for you. Trust him. Trust him in these hard, worrisome and anxious kind of things. Philippians 4 tells us about that. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Don't be anxious, pray. Don't be anxious, turn to him. Don't be anxious, trust him. Call out to him. Talk to him. He's your Father. He wants to hear from you. Prayer with thanksgiving, with supplications. Be thankful for the things that God lets into your life. Trust him. Turn these difficult things over to him and ask him to work his good purpose in all of these things. A great application for that verse right there is, especially if you're struggling with anxiety or worry or anything, is to each day, just start out tomorrow or today, this afternoon, take some quiet time with the Lord and write a list of the things that you're thankful for and just start adding to that every day. This is a blessing that God has given to me. I'm thankful. And just pray through that every day. Thank you, God, for this. Thank you, God, for this. Thank you, God, for this. And that should be exhaustive. God, thank you that you got me. Do you pray that? I pray that every day. Thank you, God, that you got me up today. Wow. Thank you. It's a grace gift that I have air today. Thank you. And just make a thanksgiving list. Be thankful every single day and add to that list. Add to it, add to it, add to it. Make them specific. That's what this verse really says here, is make those personal, specific requests for you. God, today, you know that I don't have a job and I need one. And I'm going out to look for one. I'm doing my part. I'm going to go out. I'm going to be open to whatever job you give me. I'm going to do that. But I'm just trusting you. I'm not going to be anxious about this one bit. Please give me that job that you have for me. Anything like that would be appropriate there. Be honest. How about that? Be honest with God. God, I'm fearful today. I'm worrying. I don't want to. Help me to trust you. God, bring people into my life that can help me be more like Christ in this area. Help me to learn and know more about you and trust you more. Be specific. God already knows your heart better than you. Just be honest with him and talk to him like a father that loves you. Change who you're trusting. I know what we're all going to answer this. This is an easy one to answer. But it's a more difficult question to live out. Who is honestly better at ordering and organizing your life? Is it God or is it you? Every one of us is like, duh, of course it's God, right? The follow-up question is then, okay, why aren't you letting him? Right? Right? But who's better? Who's better to trust? Is it the great king who made all things? Is it the great king who's promised to give you what you need? Is it the great king that loves you? Is it the great king that actually sent his own son to die on the cross for you? Or are you better at it? The Chinese built this wall, and it's like 1,500 miles long. That's insane. 1,500. Can you imagine the manpower that it took to build that thing? It's like 30 feet wide and, I don't know, tons, real tall. You could never climb over it. There's no way to get around the thing. And their thought was this. Okay, the Mongols are smashing everything in their sight. That's bad, right? Don't want any Mongols over at my house tonight. And so, let's build this. And I guess they must have had the manpower. Wow, right? Guess what happened? They went up and they bribed the gatekeepers and just walked right through. How'd the wall help them out? Let's trust the wall. The wall is great. The wall will keep the problems out. The wall is going to protect us. Right? Who's better able to control the circumstances of your life and to protect you? The wall? You? Or is it the great king? Our efforts like that will fail every time. Walls aren't going to do it. Armies aren't going to do it. Any kind of we have to trust in God that He is at work and He knows what we need, and put our trust in Him, and that is the answer for helping with fear, anxiety, and worry. I got a little bit of an illustrative diagram here that I think is helpful for me, and I'd like to just sort of walk through it. We'll be seeing this again in a couple of weeks, but I'd like to just look through it like this. I'd like you to think about it like this on who you're trusting. Please pay attention to this. I think this is very illustrative. If you think about this circle as your life, and this is the, colors aren't as good. This is your life, and so there are things that are going to come into your life. This circle belongs to God. This is God's dominion, His care, His responsibility for you to take care of. So God puts on Himself responsibilities, other people's actions. You can't control other people's actions. Some of you try real hard. You can't do it. Your health. Not talking about stewardship here. We got to do what we're supposed to do, but you can't control it. You have no control whether you get sick or not. Food, clothing, and shelter. Again, you have there's things that you need to do for stewardship, but you really can't control. You can't make 100% sure that you're going to have food, clothing, and shelter tomorrow. Air to breathe. You can't make sure that you have air to breathe. God put that in His circle. I'll give you air to breathe. I'll give you food, clothing, and shelter. He told us that. That the world doesn't end. Right? Everybody's talking about that. The world's going to come to an end. Okay. Not much I can do about it, right? In fact, there's nothing I can do about it. A friend of mine once said, I used to worry about bad storms all the time, but it only ever changed a storm once. Right? No, of course not. It didn't ever change anything. There's things only God controls. Only God can control. He is the great King, the sovereign Creator, and He is the only one that can do these things. You can't. Those are in God's circle. Those are His responsibility to take care of. Now, the neat thing is you have a circle. Okay? You have a responsibility for certain things. Your responsibility are how you respond to certain circumstances and different things that happen in your life and other people. You need to respond in a way that is consistent with what God says in His Word. And so you have that responsibility. And so when someone over here, other people's actions are nasty, how do you respond? Do you respond getting all anxious about it or worry or be fearful? Or do you blow up at them? Do you do anything like that? Your response is what's important. Not their actions, your response. That's what the issue is. If you get up and go to work, that's your responsibility, right? God lets you choose that every day that he gives you grace. You can either get up and you can go to work, or you can stay home and lay in bed. Your responsibility. If you eat right and exercise, that's your responsibility. And, you know, how you take care of yourself, how you treat other people. It's another one that's in your circle. How am I going to treat other people? God's over there with their actions. You're over here with your actions, right? Your responsibility, your obedience to his word, what you do, how you respond to those things. Notice that even your circle is still inside of God's circle. That's comforting, isn't it? Because even sometimes when we have our bad choices over here, you know, I don't eat right or exercise. That's not a confession. It is true. But if you don't eat right and exercise, God, you know, exercise is profitable for a few things, but God is profitable for all things, right? And so that's more important to God. But even your circle, if you do, you know, make bad choices, God's still in control. He's still in control of your circle, but he gives you responsibility for the things that he puts into your circle. Now, think about that with me there. Think about that with me. If what happens in life is we want to pull things out of God's circle and rip them down into my circle. If someone is mean to me, I got to control that. I got to stop them from being mean to me, right? That's not in your circle. Do you get that? Do you hear that today? That's not in your circle. Okay, I'm going to pull them down into my circle and I'm going to change them. They don't change. What happens in your life? Oh, I can't believe that. Right? Anxiety, fear, worry, problems. Things blow up in relationships. It's all about changing who we are trusting in, changing and trusting in your will for your life and changing it to God's will for your life. Hey, that's hard sometimes, isn't it? You know, you see other people all around you and they got all these things and they got all these blessings and you just want that. You see somebody and they just are rejoicing in Christ because their marriage is wonderful and they come to work every single day and they tell you what a great husband that they've got. And all you want to do is choke them because yours is not. Well, change the way that you think about that. You have an opportunity that they don't have to love someone that's hard to love. Leave that in God's circle. Leave them in God's circle. You take up your responsibility and don't fear, but rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in what he's doing in your life. Rejoice in the fact that he gives you these opportunities. Rejoice in the fact that he loves you enough to keep working in your life, making you more like Christ, despite who you are and the choices that you make. Every single day, he's giving you grace. He's loving you, and he's helping you change who you're trusting. Just real quickly on the next point, because we're going to talk about this more next week anyway. Change your thinking. Change the things that you're focusing on from focusing on the negatives all the time to focusing on what's really true. To focusing on don't you notice there in verse 8 how we have all this strung together? Rejoice in the Lord. Jesus is at hand. Don't be anxious. Turn them over to God. Verse 8, and meditate on these things. Change the things that you focus your mind on. The life is a battle for the mind. And he says, just very quickly, again, we're going to look at these next week. Meditate on true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, praiseworthy things. Meditate, mull over in your mind the things that are really true. Think about the things that you know for sure. And very often, fear and anxiety and worry, well, not very often, every time, they are thinking problems. Because what we tend to do, and there's going to be people here who are going to know exactly what I mean by this. We want to focus on what might happen. Oh, man, if this happens, my life is over. If this happens, this, that, or the other, then it's just, we're done. Well, wait a minute. What are you worried about that for? It hadn't even happened yet, right? Is that true? No. Is it praiseworthy? Is it good? Is it noble, just? Is it lovely? No. You know, and so we sometimes will focus on those things that are not true, a lie, believing a lie, or we'll assign motives to someone. They just did that because they want to hurt me. You don't know that. That's not something to meditate and focus your mind on. That'll kill you. That'll cause more worry. Focusing on the worst case scenarios. acting sometimes as if something has already happened. You know, and then we blow up and get all worried about it as if it's already happened, hadn't even happened yet. And then what always happens the next day? Doesn't happen, right? And then what did you do? You just worried and you had a bad day the whole day for what? For nothing. And wouldn't you rather, if Tuesday something bad was going to happen, wouldn't you really focus on worshiping Christ on Monday and have a good day? Because you're already going to have a bad one on Tuesday. Why do you want to have two? Right? Focus on what you know to be true, not what you think might happen or worst case scenario. Whatever things are true, just, pure, you know, lovely, all of those kind of things that we need to put our attention to. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. It's a thinking thing. I'm going to trust in Christ. I'm going to set my mind on him. I'm going to let him be God in my life. And I'm not going to focus on every worst case scenario that might possibly happen to me, because that is going to kill me. That is going to drive me to anxiety instead of focusing on the truth. Change your life is lastly what will help you overcome fear and anxiety and worry. Put into practice these things. If you have a real problem with this, let's just be honest, we all have fear, anxiety, and worry. I mean, we all need to grow in this area, but there are some of us here today who really are worriers, really anxious. And if that's you today, it's going to take some time. So don't try once and give up and then say, I can't do it or whatever. That's not the point. The point is, let God work in your life, changing and growing. You know, however old you are, that's how long you've been working on being a worrier, right? It's going to take a little more than 2 days to get over that. And so let God work in your life. See it as a process and begin to put into practice these different kind of things. Respond to the truth rather than seeing yourself as a victim and submitting to anxiety and just submitting yourself to it and letting it rule you. Say no. Start to obey God. Start to trust God. Start to purpose and every day do his will. And notice the in-between there in those ones that I strung together for us, because there's an in-between truth that elevates God's way. In verse 7, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. It's that two-column thing again, isn't it? What do you want? Do you want column A, fear, anxiety, worry, not trusting God, faithless life? Or do you want, hey, I pleased God today, I'm faithfully trusting him, peace. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and mind. We experience God's faithfulness in our lives. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. That's the application. And the God of peace will be with you. Wow. That's a pretty good reward for doing what God wants you to do, isn't it? I stop trusting myself. I'm not anxious. When it's hard, every day I turn to God and I pray specifically and I ask him to take care of me. I'm going to focus on and meditate on the things that God wants me to, true, just, pure, lovely, righteous, good report. I'm going to put my joy in Christ. He's my focus. And he is going to bless me. He is going to give me peace. The God of peace himself will be with me, verse 9. And so I no longer have to live enslaved to anxiety. I no longer have to live enslaved to wanting my own will and wanting things. I can begin to and can continue to see God's good purpose as he walks me through lovingly, walks me through difficulties, and brings me out the other side more like Jesus. The peace of God. Enjoy the peace. Enjoy the rejoicing, the life that God gives you as a result of trusting him. Enjoy the sound assurance that he's taking care of you. You don't have to. That's in his circle. If death comes, bummer. You get to go to heaven. Right? Enjoy the peace. Not everyone has that. You have that available to you. Isn't that awesome? Enjoy the peace. Worry and anxiety and fear are all about our view of God. Who is God? Remember that. Remember that as you let God work in your life. It's all about making much of Jesus. And there are many more sort of process things I can help you walk through with. But really, it boils down to this. Who is God? Is he able to take care of you? Yeah. Is he willing to? Oh, yeah. Is he going to? He has every time. What's your view of him? What is your view of God? What kind of things are more important to you, and what things do you trust in rather than him? What kind of things are you filling your mind with? Truths about him or truths or things that might happen? And so it's all about your view of God. What's important to you and why you want what you want? This is another one of those where it has to be personal as we finish today, as we close today. And so I just want you to think about it, because I could throw out there quite a few more applications or whatever, but I don't think that that would be all that fruitful, because we're different. We're all different people. When you're fearing or worrying or anxious, there's generally something that you want that you don't think that you're going to be able to get. And it's generally not necessarily what God wants you to have, because you know for sure he's already told you he'll give you what you need. And so that's what I'd encourage you for application today. Just take a look at that. Think about the things that you're fearful about, that you respond to in a negative way, and why. And then begin to work on trusting Christ instead of wanting and worrying about those things. Let's pray together. Lord, we all know today as we come together that we don't want to see a pool of our fears, because it would be overwhelming. We all have things that we're struggling with, and we struggle with maybe even daily, some of us, where it is an issue of trust. We trust ourselves, we trust in things, or we trust you. You know our weakness, God. It is difficult. We have such a tendency to want to see and feel the things. We want our meal for tomorrow to be in the cupboard. We don't want to have to trust you for it. But Lord, we know completely that you are trustworthy, that you are far more trustworthy than anything else here, and that it's even silly to trust these things because you made them. God, help us in our weakness. Help us as we interact together this next hour, as we encourage each other towards faithfulness. And as we just think about life, even, because we can't help but think that there's even more anxious times ahead of us as things kind of, our comfortable lives kind of fall apart here in America. God, we want to be a people that are making much of you every day. And we know that no matter what happens in this world, you're our God. No matter where we find ourselves, you have promised to care for us. No matter what anyone else ever tries to do, we trust you, because you are the only one that can truly take care of us. And so I just pray that you'd help us to grow in that today, in this next hour, and in the days and weeks to come. In Jesus' name, amen.